Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of The Dragon's Pen and My Morning Voice, a podcast about fantasy writing, sci-fi writing, and other genre-specific writing. My name is Martin, I am a fantasy writer myself, and I have spent years attending and leading workshops working with aspiring writers to help them understand how to improve their texts. I thought I might share a little bit of my experience and give you some advice on how to develop your worlds, build your stories, characters, and help you write your own fantasy or sci-fi saga. So let's get to it. Today's episode name is Show or Show Not, There Is No Tell. I tried it like 5 times in Yoda voice, but it was just, I deleted it. I will be talking about Show, Don't Tell principle. A very well known principle in storytelling, or rather very well known about principle in storytelling. Many texts from aspiring authors suffer from the lack of showing and too much telling, even though the authors say something like, yeah, show don't tell, for sure, very useful. If you deem it useful, why don't you use it? Or is it like an RPG healing thing, you know, where you have like a million healing potions and you save them for later just in case. And all of a sudden, the game ends and your hero is pretty much a walking drugstore. I believe the issue is pretty much the same as with many other aspects of writing. You might know something, but not necessarily know how to actually use it. And no shame in that. Most of us know how to control a car, not many of us know how to actually make it work as a machine. So in this episode, let's look under the hood of the show don't tell principle, how to best use it in your texts, and how to actually means what the hell does show don't tell means. This principle is often misunderstood. For a good reason, it sounds simple enough. If you think about it, it actually sounds almost idiotic. Show, don't tell. I mean, it's a text, right? I'm literally telling you everything in there. It's not like I'm going to put illustrations in my book instead of character description or environment description. But obviously, that's not the point. I just wanted you to see how easy it is to kind of see it out of context. It's tricky because it's a huge thing crammed into these 3 words that sound catchy. And that's exactly why it is often misunderstood in a very basic way. Like, okay, I'm not going to tell you there is a starship approaching. I'm going to write a scene with a starship floating through space and point you towards a planet in the distance with ominous undertones in my language. There, done. I have shown you, not told you. So what's the big fuss about? Many aspiring authors do exactly that. Kinda just move the camera around and cut. I mean, it's good. It's definitely a part of it. It's not the root of the idea behind the principle though. Let me ask you this. What is it you are actually trying to show me? A starship? Let's stick with the same scene, but in a different perspective. We are not in space, but we are in a command center of the planet ship is actually heading towards. A blip appears on radar, so okay, the starship is approaching. And a radar operator says something like, the ship's name to a commander. And the commander just drops his coffee mug. After a minute of stunned silence, he goes, "All personnel to the battle stations, red alert." Same scene, same situation, but showing very different things. So, which approach do you choose? A looming menace of a ship in a distance, in the vast emptiness of space, or the commander, or both? And if so, why? Yeah, not so simple anymore, is it? People tell you, show, don't tell, but they don't really tell you what the hell does it actually mean. So let's dig in a little deeper in the basics of an idea of show, don't tell principle. I've just realized I actually do a lot of show don't tell on this podcast, since I'm always using examples to give you a better idea of what I'm actually talking about. Good job, Martin. The second subscriber is on his way for sure. Anyway, so let's get the basics out of the way. So what is the aforementioned show don't tell principle really saying? It says that readers, or really any other storytelling audience, reacts better to being presented with information firsthand rather than just hearing about it. It does make sense. Our language is kind of limited in a way that often uses terms and sayings, and they generally lose their punch after a while. For example, I say something like, "War is hell," something you might heard many times, and it just doesn't cut it anymore. Even if I open a dictionary, I go something like, "War is an outrageous inferno." It doesn't really convey the gravity of my statement. It actually says more about me as a person than it does about the war. And that's more important than you might realize. Let's have a character in your book say something like, "War is an atrocious inferno." They have told you war is awful, but the way they said it shows you the character is probably educated, likely a little self-important, and likes to use grandiose words, even in well-known sayings. And that's exactly show don't tell principle in a nutshell. You can write your character is well educated, full of themselves, or you can have your character march into a room overdressed for the occasion, cut someone off mid-sentence and say, "War is an outrageous inferno." Now your reader has a pretty good idea about the character of this character, and you didn't really need to use character description at all. You didn't have to tell anything. You just shown how the character is in certain situation. And why is that important? Well, for a good story to work, it really needs your readers or watchers or players or whatever to be engaged. When you tell them this character is annoying, then that's it. You gave the readers your information. But when you show the character as annoying and make the readers come to their own conclusion, you have actively engaged them. You made them think annoying. They have perceived the character's mannerisms, speech, dress, stature, whatever, and they had to come and form to their own thoughts and conclusions about the character. Now, they are reading your text with their own thoughts in a process. You have made them build a rudimentary relationship with that particular character. Let's play this game a little bit more. I'm going to stick with the war is hell example and try to have a bunch of different characters say it. This would have worked out a little bit better if you were reading it instead of hearing it, but I will try to make my speech patterns as neutral as I possibly can. So here goes. "War is hell, dude." "Oh well, war is hell." "War is darker than a thousand pits of Helheim." "War is hell, baby." "There is no horror more dreadful than a man fighting a man." So it is the same saying, same sentiment, just said with, you know, in different character and in a different way. Did you notice your mind creating the rest of a character, or maybe even rest of a scene on its own, based on a single sentence? How awesome is that? You know, you hear, "War is hell, dude." All I did is add a single word to a saying we all know, and your mind goes, poof, that's a stoner in a worn-out sweater who thinks he learned all the secrets of a human life sitting in a beanbag chair. This right here is a very important piece of a puzzle many aspiring writers just don't have. You tell them there is a show don't tell principle, but you leave out probably the most important part of this principle. So what is the most important part of show don't tell? Sorry, it felt like it needed a dramatic pause. So the most important part of the show don't tell principle is a realization that on the other side of your text, there is another human being most likely, capable of thinking for themselves. I mean, it sounds kind of obvious, right? Of course, there is another person, there is a reader. But what does it really mean? It means there is now two people in the mix instead of just you, the writer. It changes the situation quite a lot. Imagine this example. You are at the car show and there is a car on display, obviously. It is nice, shiny, there is, you know, they are showing a car. Then imagine you bought the car and you are showing it to your friend. You are not just going to slap a nice finish on a car and park it in the middle of an exposition hall. You invite them for a ride, you show them how comfortable it is, how fast it is, how well it handles in the streets you both know. And you probably already know your friend is going to ask about the car and what he's going to ask. And you show them before they even do the asking. It is very different from a car just being shown, you know, to an exposition. It is the same with writing a story. When you are writing it and showing something in a scene, you are not just showing it off. You are showing it to your reader, to another human being. And that is a huge difference. The reader is a person with their own life experiences, expectations, and reasons to actually read your text. When you show them something, they instinctively add the missing pieces, you know, fill in the missing parts. That's simply how human mind works. So let's circle back to the approaching spaceship example. When you show your reader a spaceship in space, there is not much for them to fill in. But when you say the spaceship is black and huge and has jagged edges, the reader might think of it as a bit ominous. When you show it as sleek, shiny, and perfectly clean, the reader will think of something else again. When you show them the stunt commander and his reaction, it provides your readers with clues to how the commander feels about the ship in a distance. So, what are you trying to show them? What is the story really about? Is it about the commander? If so, then you probably want them to have an idea about his inner feelings. However, if the scene is about unstoppable alien ship that destroys anything in its path, then you don't really need to show the commander at all. You can do something like, the Imperial Heavy Cruiser Resolve was the fastest, most advanced ship in the entire flotilla. It had weapon systems unheard of, and its command was given to the veteran of all three rebellion wars. The mysterious ship appeared in the distance, slowly gliding towards the Resolve. Almost as if the alien ship was simply not aware there is a heavy destroyer in its path. Then it powered up its weapons. The Resolve did the same. Thanks to the new advancements in technology, super heavy ion cannons were online within seconds. It wasn't fast enough. There you go. I have shown you that nothing can stop this mysterious spaceship. The scene didn't really need any more of the commander than was already there. I have told you the commander was very experienced, very formidable, and shown you it was no use. So instead of telling you the mysterious spaceship is dangerous, I've shown you, and I've shown you how much made you, as a reader, engage in a story by letting you think about how awesomely powerful the evil ship must have been when it took out the Resolve Heavy Destroyer in mere seconds. Okay, so let's summarize a bit the show and tell principle. It is not just about moving the camera around. You are showing something to someone, your reader. You can't just simply tell them, because language has its limitation and meaning. And when you say word like war, it does not really spark the idea of how awful and tragic the actual war truly is. So it makes sense you give them a relatable example to show them how awful and tragic, rather than telling them about it. So, show, don't tell principle is not really about showing, if you think about it. It is about engaging your reader, providing them with situation and circumstances in a way that they don't need to be told something, they see it, feel it, empathize with it, and tell what you want them to hear to themselves. Okay, but what if you encounter something you can't really show, like let's say history or mythos of certain thing? Like in the example from previous episodes, the mysterious Alex is born with an unknown tattoo or marking on his skin, making him a descendant of ancient order of choicemakers who could wield elven earth magic. But he doesn't know any of that. I am supposed to show the entire history of the order? Actually, why not? It is certainly one of the approaches you can take. Have a chapter from history every once in a while in your book and make your reader experience the power of choicemakers and their being born, and then have Alex stumble upon this ability. So why not? But then again, is there an actual benefit to adding multiple chapters to your text when you can simply have Alex meet a stranger that tells him he is descendant of choicemakers and can do magic? Maybe Alex can stumble upon an ancient temple, or, you know, see some statue with a tattoo same as his. It would be more showy, less telly way to convey the information, right? But it's kind of cliche. How many times have you seen a hero enter a ruin that kind of has all the answers just kind of painted on a wall? Okay, so maybe he can dream about being a choice maker. That is super cliche as well. So what the hell am I supposed to do with the show don't tell principle when I have mythos and history to introduce? Well, you have to realize the show part in show don't tell is not just actually, you know, seeing this stuff happen. It's about engagement. Think about it more as engage, don't explain principle, maybe. With this in mind, you can much easily realize that you don't need somebody to tell Alex he's a choice maker. You don't really need to tell your readers either. You just need to push them towards telling themselves. So what you really need is to create a situation or a circumstance in which readers tell to themselves, Alex is a choice maker. And that sounds way easier all of a sudden, right? Okay, readers need to know about choice makers first, but that's pretty manageable as well. You can show them. Okay, you might want to plan it out correctly so you don't end up in a way that you show a powerful choice maker in the intro and then cut to the boy with the same tattoo living on a farm. Not much of a dramatic reveal there. Let's analyze it a bit. I want to show something and information. So how? Firstly, let's think about what the information really is about and what does it actually want to convey. So what are the building blocks of my information? I want the reader to know the choice makers. They are old, forgotten, powerful, and they were an order of warriors. So I want something that makes my reader think old, forgotten, powerful, and organized, as an order of warriors. And I don't want Alex and my reader to just stumble upon ruins where everything is pretty much served up on a decorative dinner plate, you know, painted on walls, with made into statues, things like that. It's overdone, it's boring, and it's a cliche. I want the reader to work it out a tiny bit, and my main character too. It will be so much more satisfying for my readers to feel like they have discovered something kinda on their own. So let's see. Alex can happen on an old battlefield, still littered with yellowed skeletons and rusted armor. Okay, so we have old. The battlefield is a haunting place and nobody ever goes there, but Alex needed to hide from the evil and picked this as good hiding spot. So with nobody ever going there, out of fear, we have forgotten or lost or hidden. Hundreds of skeletons are all around, the bad guys, encircling a solitary hero, let's say on a large boulder. On top of the boulder, a single corpse of an ancient hero riddled with arrows. So one guy killed all these baddies. Now we have powerful. The solitary hero on top of the boulder is in an armor, well-made, masterfully done weapons, and even maybe an old torn flag. There is a sign on hero's shoulder signifying rank, you know, like a military rank. He is not just a random guy, he is obviously part of some organization. So now we have organized. So with this scene, we have old, forgotten, powerful, and organized. Now for the last piece of the puzzle, the grand reveal. All the equipment the fallen warrior has bears the same marking Alex has on his skin. We can maybe add some, you know, garnish to the story, like under the hero, there would be flowers blooming and nothing grows under the bad guys, and the ground feels almost like an ash. So there you go. Not a single word of dialogue needed to be said. It can be just Alex walking around on an old battlefield in silent solitude, discovering his past, not even knowing he's discovering his past at first. I didn't need to tell the reader anything. I let them discover it along with Alex. And it's not just a show, it's not just visual, there is feeling of heaviness, solitude, the musty feeling of being too close to the forgotten past. I can work the atmosphere and go through Alex's inner feelings and conclusions. Not, you know, straight up explaining the situation surrounding him, but rather talk about what the situation means for him and develop him as a character. This could be a very powerful and, you know, thoughtful scene. Maybe even the best scene in the entire book. You know, in the end, Alex could remove the helmet of a fallen hero, putting it on his own head, symbolizing that Alex embraces his newfound past and accepts the responsibility of being a choice maker. And remember, the first alternative for this was a stranger just straight up telling Alex all of this. So that is pretty much how you show, don't tell. Simple enough. You identify what your reader want to tell to themselves while reading your text. Figure out how to engage them in a way you want, and slowly push them towards the conclusion you want them to experience in their head. Whether it's an information, feeling, or an idea. Thank you for listening. Good luck with your writing, and hopefully you were at least a little bit inspired.